Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts. All you can eat. Well, I'ma stuff my face to a funky beat. We're gonna walk inside
and guess what's up? Put the food on my plate, add some coke in my cup. Well, they're probably eating pretty well over there in Davos, wouldn't you say?
I would imagine they are.
Not as well as we're going to be in the studio in just a moment. You know, one of the great things about the 21st century, about the internet era with the proliferation of cameras and YouTube, is that you can Google little girl squash soup and actually watch and listen to this.
Hi, I'm Logan in the kitchen, and it is really cold outside. So there's nothing better when it's cold out than a nice hot bowl of soup. So today we're making a spiced butternut squash soup that just has all the flavors of winter in it.
Yes, and the voice behind that YouTube video, it's actually Little Girl in the Kitchen. It's a TV show created by 11-year-old. 11-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Romilly Newman, who is in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
And you've actually brought us a butternut squash soup.
Well, it's a tomato soup.
Tomato soup. Okay, with basil and some pesto.
Right. Some creme fraiche.
We're going to talk about that. But first, why did you decide to create your own cooking show as an 11-year-old?
Because I was always so inspired by, you know, the Food Network and all those shows. And I always watched it. And I thought, you know, having these shows teaching people how to cook would kind of be my own little way of having that.
And who's, aside from the Food Network, who's your vision of a great cook? Is it your mom?
No, she can't cook.
Oh, I see. And she's in the control room there, yes.
Maybe that's why you've become a good cook.
It wasn't the family where you get passed on, you know, your great-grandmother's pasta recipe, and it just wasn't that.
So this is something you initiated on your own.
Yeah, it was kind of a thing that I kind of said, let's do this.
And you've been on Good Morning America and CBS News, I believe?
The early show, yeah.
The early show, yeah. So the fact that YouTube is out there and people can find you means you've got a little bit of a following.
That's what I try to say, but
well,
you know.
Congratulations, Romilly Newman. And also with us is Elisa Volland, who's founder and president of Mini Chef, a cooking school for 3 to 13-year-olds right here in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you know, getting kids to cook is a labor-saving device for parents, but it's also a learning tool on a lot of different fronts. So what have you observed?
Well, absolutely. It's definitely a social, emotional, and also healthy benefit to getting your kids in the kitchen with you.
And, you know, we've actually discovered this in my home. Romilly, you're friends with my two 11-year-old daughters,
yes.
Zoe and Olivia. And they actually learned quite a few years ago the importance of reading by following recipes and following directions. What other skills are important for kids to learn if they cook on their own?
Sure. Well, for younger children, the 3 to 6-year-old group, I would start with counting and vocabulary. It's just a great way to get them involved in mixing and measuring. There's so many little lessons on also gross motor and fine motor skills that you can adapt and put in there. And then for the older kids, you can really have greater conversations about how's their day at school, what's going on in their life. It's really an introduction to more social bonding issues.
And then there are also people like Romilly Newman, where it's all about you being a star, right?
In a way, but I like to, I think, teaching kids about what they're eating and...
Really? So
and
that's
about
important to you?
What they're, yeah, I think it's very important that, you know, healthy food can
healthy
taste
food.
Good.
All right, here's a question I have. All right, I've got 5 kids, all right? A lot of different approaches to eating, okay? And it's always... And I remember what I used to eat as a kid. Do you think of kid food as like an ethnic food? Like there's Hungarian food, there's Polish food, there's Italian food, and there's kid food. And if so, what would that be?
I think there is that. And I think it's kind of, you know, food that, you know, is kind of junky. And so I think that you have to kind of open your kids, you know, open the doors to your kids' food world.
So kid food is kind of narrow. So if I was making a salad and I put feta cheese on it, that's adult. If I put Rice Krispies on it, that's...
Kids. Uh-huh. But I try to make it, you know, I try to teach kids that feta cheese can taste good.
Well, Celeste has a question for you. I'm going to get her
a
bowl
you know,
ready
one
of
the
this
things
tomato
that's
soup
a big,
here.
It's a big barrier, Elisa and Romilly, is that the look of food. Very often kids are afraid because something looks... to quote my son, gross. And it takes a number of bites before they realize that what looks disgusting to them, it doesn't taste so bad. Romilly?
How do you get kids past gross?
Yeah.
I think you have to kind of, you know, you have to just have them try it. And there are also ways to kind of hide vegetables, hide things, you know. You know, you can make a mashed potato with turnip in it. But, you know, they don't see that, but it just tastes good and they're getting their vegetables.
Elisa, do you teach vegetable hiding techniques?
Well, sure, absolutely, especially with children. You have to weave in the good stuff, basically, to get kids to eat it. But also the other thing is there are so many companies out there right now that are making molds, so you can make things in different shapes that are much more appealing to kids. You can make butterflies and bees, and they just have a greater interest in trying these foods if they like what they're eating.
Well, madame, I have a bowl of this for you. And Romilly, will you explain what it is that Celeste is eating here?
It's my take on, like, the classic tomato soup. Every kid loves tomato soup, so it has some red peppers in it, and it's kind of...
It's really flavorful.
Thank you.
Garnished with some pesto?
Some pesto oil.
Pesto oil? You made this pesto oil?
Pesto. You can buy store-bought pesto even and just water it down with olive oil, and then you kind of drizzle that on.
So what is your vision for Little Girl in the Kitchen, Romilly Newman?
I try to make it a wide variety. I try to make it food that not only is just for kids or just for adults. I try to make it food that kind of anyone can eat and anyone can love. And that's what I want.
But does that really mean you want to get on the Food Network? Is that really? Is that? Yeah, maybe.
That was one of the challenges.
All right. Elisa, take us out. What's a last thought for moms who are thinking of maybe letting their kids, or dads thinking of letting their kids actually get near the burners?
The last thought is actually it's much easier to cook with your kids than people think. There's so many things that kids can do in the kitchen, from prepping to mixing before they actually hit the oven.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the tomato soup, Romilly Newman and Elisa Volland. Kids can cook. Kids should cook. Kids, get cooking. It's breakfast time.
And you can catch a few episodes of Romilly's show. Go to our website, thetakeaway.org. We'll have links for you there.